From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Truth Established. The text is found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Truth wears well. Time tests it, but it right well endures the trial. If then I have spoken the truth and have for the present to suffer for it, I must be content to wait. If also I believe the truth of God and endeavor to declare it, I may meet with much opposition, but I need not fear, for ultimately the truth must prevail. What a poor thing is the temporary triumph of falsehood! A lying lip is but for a moment. It is a mere gourd which comes up in a night and perishes in a night, and the greater its development, the more manifest its decay. On the other hand, how worthy of an immortal being is the avowal and defense of that truth which can never change, the everlasting gospel which is established in the immutable truth of an unchanging God. An old proverb says, "He that speaks truth shames the devil." Assuredly, he that speaks the truth of God will put to shame all the devils in hell and confound all the seed of the serpent which now hiss out their falsehoods. O my heart, take care that thou be in all things on the side of truth, both in small things and great, but specially on the side of him by whom grace and truth have come among men. If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. In verses 8 through 15 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of his personal knowledge of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is not simply preaching theological concepts. He had experienced the life-changing effect of the gospel in his own life, and his one desire was to make that gospel known to as many people as possible. In the text before us, Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. He rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel to transform sinners into saints through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Gospel, the Foundation and Fullness of the Christian Life.
The theme of verses 8 through 12 is very simple. It's the gospel, the foundation and the fullness of the Christian life. And in discussing that, Paul used his own experience to illustrate the point, and so will we. I want us to look first at verse 8, where we have Paul's thanksgiving. He says, first, there's a lot, believe it or not, there's a lot has been actually has been said on that one word, first. First. And a lot of good things have been said on it. Lloyd-Jones, for example, likes to, the word is, expatiate on this. Because first seems to indicate that there's going to be a second. That's what I love about Paul. I told you he was a Free Presbyterian. He never got to the second. So don't blame me the next time that happens. He never got to point two. He just said first. Lloyd-Jones makes the point that this happens quite a lot in Paul's writings, that he starts to make a point and he gets carried away with the glory and the grandeur of it, that he's not worried about having the form of a speech. He's not worried about having it all perfectly wrought out as a work of literary art. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. He was an instructor of men. He was a winner of souls. He was a shepherd of sheep. He was not there to show what a skillful literary pen he had. A lot of truth in that. So many preachers are so worried about, and I believe, and all the students here have got to turn their ears off at the moment, because I'm employed to teach them homiletics, and they've got to learn the craft of how to use and build on a text. But there's so many preachers are more bound to their notes than they're bound to. They're more bound to their little form than they are to the truth. I was talking about emotion a minute ago. If a preacher preaches without emotion, I don't think he can preach at all. He shouldn't be a preacher. He might be a garage hand. He may be filling shelves at Bilo, and that's a perfectly good job. I'm not despising the job, but he shouldn't be a preacher. He can be president of the United States, but he shouldn't be a preacher. If he can preach the gospel without it stirring his own emotions, he has no right to be in the pulpit. Because the gospel is bound to produce this emotion within you. Must do it. Paul found that, and that's why he had a first without a second. Actually, I don't think he has a first without a second. That's why I quoted Lloyd-Jones. I think Paul is just saying, look, first and foremost. He's not saying, I'm going to give you a list of things, but he says, first and foremost, this is the thing that's on my mind. This is the thing that's leading me to write to you. This is the thing that's filling and thrilling my heart. I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of. The word is proclaimed. That your faith, not the gospel, mark you, though that would be true. But he's saying your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world. And of course, he's talking about the Roman world, the empire. So here's his thanksgiving. And when you look at it, you'll find that he's rejoicing particularly in three things. He's rejoicing in the efficacy. What is efficacy? It is the power to produce its desired result. He is rejoicing in the efficacy of the merits of Christ. Now watch it carefully. Here was Paul writing to a church where? In Rome. In Rome. Rome, the capital of the heathen world. Rome with its multitude of gods. Rome from which the Jews, because of their monotheism, had just been thrown out by the Emperor Claudius. And he's writing to the church in Rome. A church that had never seen an apostle. Now, some of the people had met Paul in other places, but no apostle had ever been to Rome. The church in Athens was founded by an apostle. The church in Corinth was founded by an apostle. The church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, and all the church in Colossae, the churches of Galatia, they were all founded by the direct ministry of an apostle. No apostle had ever been to Rome. And yet here was a church. A church of converted sinners. A church that was a living testimony. It was thriving even without this human leadership. The Romans were believers in Jesus Christ, and they were saved, as were all believers, but everybody could see this. They were saved solely on the merits of the Lord Jesus. Their faith, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, stood not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. As he writes later in Romans 3, they were justified freely by his grace. Now Paul looked at these people, sinners, from all parts of the empire, living under the shadow of the throne of Caesar. Nero, a mad, murderous rascal, living there and thriving. Why? Because, as the old gospel hymn puts it, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. That's why. They were living proof that there was power. And Paul's heart was rejoiced. And as he rejoiced, it made him think even more of the power of Christ's merits, because he realized even his own praise and prayers were in the merits of Christ. Notice what he said. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ. He says the very same thing in Romans 7:25. At the end of that chapter where he has been discussing the tremendous conflict in the believer. He's a believer in Christ and he's a new creature, but he's still in the flesh and he's still got the old man. And as there is this constant ongoing battle, and he realizes there's no power in the law at all to deliver him from the power of sin. He says, who shall deliver me from or out of the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he's saying is twofold. I thank God that the deliverance comes through the merits of Christ. But he's also saying, even my ability to come to God is through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's solely by the mediation of Christ that we have access to God. That's good news for sinners. Glorious news for sinners. And there's glorious news for saints. There is one God. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And here's the good news implicit in this. If you're a sinner, you're cut off from God. You can't work your way to God. You can't buy your way to God. You can't serve your way to God. You can't be baptized and get to God. You can't eat and drink at the Lord's table and get to God. There's nothing in this world can bring you nigh to God except the merits of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. That's the good news for sinners. And the good news for saints is that once you've made Christ your Savior and you've come to God through Him, then you can keep on coming. There is a way to the throne of God. That's a wonderful thing. There's a way to the throne of God. You couldn't get into the White House. You remember the newspapers around Christmas time were lamenting that President Bush wanted to make the Christmas celebrations a family time and spoke of all the homes of America, but his home was closed off, even to school kids. I think that those were griping criticisms. Anybody who'd have had the White House opened in December would have needed to be committed to a lunatic asylum. Nothing wrong with keeping it closed. But I'm simply making the point, you couldn't get in. I have walked past Buckingham Palace in London on many occasions. I've seen the soldiers in their bearskins walking up and down like clockwork. I've seen them changing their guard with all the pomp and the pageantry. But the gates have always been locked. I couldn't get in. And yet, I can get right to the throne of heaven any time, any place, under any circumstances. And not only can I get to the throne of heaven when I get there, it's not Gabriel the archangel that I get to talk to. It's not Mary the mother of Jesus I get to talk to, for they couldn't talk to me. But I can get straight to the throne of the Father Himself, the God who rules the universe, who upholds all things by the word of His power. I can get straight to the throne of God and have the ear of God by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the teaching of the whole New Testament. Paul told the Ephesians that they gave thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told the Colossians, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by or through Him. He wrote to the Hebrews in 13:15, by or through Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There is a way to God for saints and sinners through the merits of the Lord Jesus. There is power in the blood. Oh, let me tell you, nothing has changed that in the last 2,000 years of history. Nothing has changed it. One of the most chilling statements I ever heard was made by an Irish social democrat, he was called, an Irish Roman Catholic member of the local parliament in Belfast. A man who trained, I am told, for the priesthood in a very famous college in Southern Ireland many years ago. He's a dying man today. I hope he's learned better. But when Ian Paisley went into that parliament, they made what's called his maiden speech. Usually that's an occasion when all party members of whatever stripe are conciliatory and they make comments that are complimentary to the new member. But John Hume on that day got up and he sneered and he said, Dr. Paisley will find that he's not in the Ulster Hall, which in those days was the place he held his church services because his new church was just in building. The old church was not big enough to hold the crowds. He said, Dr. Paisley will find that he's not in the Ulster Hall now and that there's no power in the blood in this place. I sincerely pray that God has enlightened his mind in the meantime, for he is soon to stand before God, and he will find if there's no power in the blood for him, there's no power in anything else. There's only one merit that avails with God. That's the merit of Christ. There's only one obedience that has satisfied the law of God. That is the obedience of Christ. There is only one way of acceptance with God, and that is by faith in Jesus' merit. And Paul was rejoicing in the efficacy of the merits of Christ, in the power of Jesus' obedience unto death to save sinners, to justify them completely and establish them in a right standing with God. He also rejoiced in the experience of Christ's merits. And he wasn't thinking at this point of his own experience, but that of the Romans. He was rejoicing that what he was preaching to the Romans was not theory. He knew that there was an answer in their heart. You know, that's a great thrill for any preacher. Some of you, when you first came to this church, had never heard of the doctrine of justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ. You'd never heard of the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's true of some of you, not all. And I've seen over the years people's lives changed. So that when I now begin to explore what the Bible says about the gospel, I can see lives, I can see faces alight with joy. I can see lives that have been changed by the power of this gospel. And I know there are hearts that are answering and saying, I have experienced that. Paul had that joy as he was writing to these people. The Romans knew by experience that the gospel was a glorious gospel. They knew that it was a powerful gospel. They knew that it had set them free. They knew that they were new creatures in Christ. They knew that they had peace with God. These were people living in the shadow of death. These were people living in the imperial capital, knowing there was every possibility that the madman on the imperial throne would decide to slaughter them. 7 years after this, he washed the streets of Rome with their blood. They died in multitudes, but they died in victory. They knew that they could face death, but they were rejoicing in the power of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.